Good morning. Greet you in Christ's name this morning. Glad to see that you're here. See, we have some visitors. Welcome. We would that you worship with us this morning. And there's a number of our people that are missing. So we're glad that you're here. November is going quickly. And Thanksgiving week is here. It's hard to believe, but it is. And we have so much to be thankful for. My message this morning is on Thanksgiving. I thought it would be appropriate. Before we begin, I'd like to pray. And I want to make note that our ministry team is quite depleted this morning. John's are at the Cuba Church, Cuba Mennonite, and he's preaching there this morning. And Vanson is in Elkhart. He's preaching there. And Kendall is in Belize, preaching there. So they're busy this morning, and we want to pray for them as well. So let's bow our heads to pray. Lord, we come before you this morning. We're grateful for a dry place, a warm place to come and worship this morning, to, as a corporate body, to look to you. With open eyes and open hearts, Lord, we want to receive what you have for us this morning. Would you, through your word, speak to each one of us? And by your Holy Spirit, would you place that seed in a place where it's fertile soil and protect it from the enemy, that he would not snatch it away? Help us to see into the depths of our hearts, to see, are we thankful like we ought to be this morning, Lord? Pray for John and Kendall and Vanson and the places where they are ministering as well. Would your Holy Spirit meet them there as well? We give you all glory for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. We have so many things to be grateful for. This week, I was reading an article that talked about the historical sequence of what we call Thanksgiving Day, and I found it remarkable how the leaders of our country back in those days, back in the 1700s, were unashamed to mention the name of God, and it made me wonder at the fact that today it is, you just don't see it anymore. It's actually rare that someone would mention God or Christ in our political system today. It would be frowned upon even maybe or somehow. But as I was reading, I thought, wow, this is powerful. I'm going to read it. This is just the beginning portion of the message. It's not really the message, but I'd like to just read a couple excerpts this morning of what they said. In 1777, a Thanksgiving proclamation was issued by the Continental Congress, and here's a portion of what one Samuel Adams wrote. And just listen to his expression. He talks about the Almighty God. For as much as it is the indispensable duty of all men to adore the superintending providence of Almighty God. It's our indispensable duty, he says, to adore the providence of Almighty God, to acknowledge with gratitude their obligation to him for benefits received, and to implore further blessings as they stand in need of. And it having pleased him in his abundant mercy not only to continue to us innumerable bounties of his common providence, but also to smile upon us. His recognizing of God smiling on us. He has more to say. Then further down he says, it is therefore recommended to the legislative power and executive powers of the United States to set apart Thursday, the 18th of December, next for solemn thanksgiving and praise. He recognizes our duty of recognizing the Almighty God as our... We're the benefactors of his providence. And about 12 years later, 1789, October 3rd, then President George Washington, November 26th as the day to render thanks to Almighty God. Here's what he said. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God and to obey his will, and to be grateful for his benefits and humbly implore for his protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God. Again, recognizing that it's from Almighty God. And then, Abraham Lincoln, as president, when he was president, made this mention. 1863. The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed, we are prone to forget the source from which they come. Others have been added which are so extraordinary in nature that we cannot fail to penetrate and soften every heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. We are so prone to forget, he says, where these come from. And he's right, so many times we do. I just found that interesting that our leaders then would take the time and the energy to write those things down, giving the Almighty God praise and glory in our history. Today, it seems like it's all about the turkeys and the pumpkins and all those things, football and feasting and sales, Black Friday and all those things, and we forget to give glory to Almighty God. And this morning, as Christians, I feel it is an important time to use this time as Christians to remind ourselves and others of whom we have a debt of gratitude towards, and that is Almighty God. And this morning I'd like to do that as we consider Thanksgiving. 2 Corinthians 9:11 and 15 says this: being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Breaking that down just a little bit. Being enriched in everything. I often read this as being rich in everything. We just have so much bounty. But what that's saying is being enriched in everything to all bountifulness. And what that means is bountifulness is the act of giving. We have so much that we are obligated to give to those that have less. And what does that cause? It causes through us thanksgiving to God. And then he says, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Blessings so that we can give, and causing God to receive the glory and the thanksgiving. The message this morning I've titled An Attitude of Gratitude. And my purpose is to impress on us, myself included, the importance of exercising gratitude versus the contrary attitude. And from you, if we don't have gratitude, what is the opposite of gratitude? Someone. Complaining. Okay, that's exactly the word I was after. That's not what I expected, though. Ungratefulness is, and when we are ungrateful, we often complain. You're right, Lyle. That's where I was heading. You got there before I did. The opposite of thankfulness is ungratefulness, and the way we demonstrate that, our ungratefulness, we often complain and murmur. We see that word in the Bible, murmuring. And this morning, I'd like to look at those two side by side and say, what kind of person am I? We are often full of complaining, grumbling, murmuring, and whining. And yes, it is our choice. We get to choose what attitude we have. We'd rather say it's my neighbor's fault or my parents' fault, my siblings, the church, on and on we can go, and we can blame others for our attitude. But listen to what God says about this situation. He says in Philippians this, "Let our conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel." I don't sense complaining here. Our conversation, our life, the way we live, the way I behave is becoming the gospel of Christ. It's not about complaining about my lot in life. It's not how I live, but it's also how I think. It's not only our conversation is becoming the gospel of Christ, but it's how I think. In Ephesians, it says, putting off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in my mind. Not only do I live in a way that is becoming the gospel of Christ, but I think the same way. I don't think in a complaining and a ungrateful way, but as becoming the gospel of Christ, I am grateful. Psalm 23 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley," regardless what valley that may be, regardless what valley you may be in, "I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because thou art with me." That's why we can be grateful this morning. I often forget the circumstances that I am in. They have not escaped God's knowledge. He knows, He cares, He has promised, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So I choose to respond, regardless of trials that come, the hardships, I choose how I respond. Will I respond with gratefulness or with complaining? Let's begin with the negative, the attitude of complaining, a complaining attitude. How does God view a complaining attitude? If you have your Bibles with you this morning, we're going to read out of Numbers chapter 10, verse 29. Numbers chapter 10, verse 29. Turn with me there if you would. I don't have this on the PowerPoint this morning. Numbers chapter 10. The children of Israel have just left Egypt. And they have the cloud over them for guidance, and I'm going to read all the way through chapter 11, verse 3. And just as we think about this attitude of complaining or an attitude of gratitude, let's listen to what the children of Israel were dealing with at this time. Chapter 10, Numbers 10, verse 29. "And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Reguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto a place of which the Lord said, I will give it to you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. And he said unto him," he's asking another man to join them, and he said unto them, verse 30, "I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land, and to my kindred. And he said, Leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. And it shall be, if thou go with us, yea, it shall be that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will he do unto thee." So in other words, you won't just look at us and see us being blessed, but you'll be with us, you'll be blessed as well. And they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day, and when they went out of the camp. And it came to pass, when the ark was set forth, that Moses said, this is in a prayer, or he said it out loud, "Rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee." That's what he said when they picked up the ark to go. And when it rested, when they set it down, he said, "Return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel." So Moses was praying and saying, "Lord, go in front of us, go before us, and defeat the enemies." And when he when they sat down for the evening, he said, come back, Lord, now and be around us and camp around us and protect us. And there was the cloud and the pillar of fire there. And then in chapter 11, and when the people complained, all this was happening to them. And yet it says that when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses. And when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because of the fire of the Lord burnt among them. The people complained. They had so much. And Moses, he just finished telling the one fellow that wanted him to go with him, the Midianite. He said, come with us, because the Lord has promised he's going to do us good. And if you don't go with us, you'll just be able to watch. But if you come with us, you can experience that blessing as well. And yet the people complained, and it displeased the Lord. I'd like to make 2 points about attitude right now. And some of this I read in a book by author James MacDonald, Lord, Change My Attitude. I believe it's Lord, Change My Attitude Before It's Too Late was the title of the book. In there, he made this mention. Attitudes are patterns of thinking formed over a long period of time. A pattern of thinking formed over a long period of time. I think a certain way for a long period of time. I begin seeing life through that lens. Everything points to that view that I have. It's somebody else's fault. It's never my fault. If I keep thinking that way, then that's the way I become. Or maybe it's, I'm no good. I'm just no good. If I start thinking that way over a long period of time, that's the way I view life. Nobody's looking out for me. Or maybe we can dispel with Satan's lies and say, God is looking out for me. This is not a good time, but God's looking out for me. And we can think, you can see how patterns of thinking begin. Attitudes are patterns of thinking formed over a long period of time. And point number two is, I choose my attitude. I choose it. We want to blame our circumstances. There may be 100 reasons why I do what I did or respond the way I do. But in the end, it's our choice. I can say I'm only reacting to what you, I've used this line. I'm only reacting to what you did. Have you ever used that line? It's not a good excuse. I chose to react in a certain way. Here's what Proverbs says. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. A pattern of thinking formed over a long period of time. And then Proverbs goes on in Proverbs 4 and says this, keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So what we're thinking in our hearts, or in the biblical sense, our heart is our mind. We keep our mind and the way we think with all diligence. This process starts from a young age. Children start thinking a certain way, and they grow up thinking that way. And as adults, we think this way over our entire lifetime. And you can consider situations. Maybe you know of situations. Maybe you've been in situations. You have a fender bender, or there's hundreds of situations. How do you respond to those situations? Do we blame, or we take responsibility? Am I ready to face reality and say, that was my fault, and take responsibility? We develop these patterns of thinking, which become our attitude towards life. A person that is self-centered, if his attitude is towards self, he will probably be a complainer. Attitudes are patterns of thinking formed over a long period of time. which means if I find myself with an attitude of complaining or an attitude that needs changing, it may not be complaining, it may be some other sinful attitude. It needs changing, and it takes a long time, a period of time, to form it. It'll take time to dispel it, but it can be done. One day, one situation at a time, we can change the way we view our particular situation, and we can change the way we view life. Recognize the enemies, the lies the enemy puts in us, in our minds. What does God say about a complaining attitude? Well, we read here in Numbers chapter 11 that when the people complained,
It's left me. One of the other translations, it might have been the Amplified Bible, said it slightly different. They became as people that complained or something of that nature. But the people complained nonetheless. In other places, we see the children of Israel murmuring. The same attitude brings out both of those things, murmuring and complaining. They made a choice, and it displeased God, it says. The people complained, and it displeased the Lord. It displeased the Lord. God is our Father. He's our Heavenly Father. He cares about our situations. And He's not easily displeased, because He loves us. And He wants us to be His children that are glorying in Him and bringing glory to Him and showing other people that He's a good God. So He's not often and easily displeased. But when we continue, Psalm says this, Psalm 86:15, "But Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." That's the God. That's God the Father that we serve. He walks with us. He draws us. And at times He needs to discipline us because He cares for us. And His intent is to guide us back to the right path. It doesn't mean He's displeased with us. He wants us on the right path. He's often disappointed, maybe. Maybe our lives bring Him disappointment. If you're a father, you know what I'm talking about. But that doesn't mean you're displeased. But when He is displeased, friends, when He is displeased, His wrath comes. And it's unrelenting. Proverbs 29 says this, "He that often being reproved hardeneth his neck, I will not listen." No. "He often reproved hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." When God turns from disappointed to displeased, as He did with the children of Israel here, it displeased the Lord. Then it is without remedy. It says in the next part of the verse, that verse, that the Lord heard them. God hears. He's listening all the time. There's never a break. And we need to be aware of that. He also hears our angry words. He hears our things that we say, our complaining words. Fathers, He hears us how we talk to our families, to our wives. He's listening all the time. 24/7, God is there and He's listening. And He heard the children of Israel here. He heard what they were murmuring in their tents. Maybe behind closed doors they were complaining. But He heard them and it displeased Him. 1 Peter 3:12, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers." God is always listening. "But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." God is listening to us. He heard it, it displeased Him, and it angered Him. It angered the Lord, it says in verse 1 of chapter 11. It angered the Lord. The anger, we cannot grasp the significance of the anger of the Lord. The awfulness of that. As loving as God is, the opposite, his anger is as awful as his love is wonderful. What would it be like to experience that? When his long-suffering and his patience has been expired, and the hot wrath of God comes on us, and it comes down, it's an awful thing. Psalm 7:11 says this, God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. He's angry with the wicked because they've hardened, in the proverb, they've hardened their neck over and over, and they do not repent. And he's angry with them. His wrath, it says his wrath was kindled, and his anger was kindled. It's like a small fire that started, like a forest fire. It was only a spark, but it grew. When it was unregarded, it grew. No repentance. It flared and it was a fire. And he literally sent a fire. Literally. He burned the edges of the camp. A literal fire that God sent because of his anger to the people, to the children of Israel. Going back to the Proverbs 29 verse. He that is often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. That's what happens when we harden our neck. And God sends into us a spiritual fire and destroys us. So, the question is, how then can I come to God with my issues? I have my issues. What if he thinks I'm complaining? He says in Matthew, come unto me, come unto me. All ye that are that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How do we come? How do we come if he's displeased with complaining? Friends, he longs for us to cry out to him. Jeremiah 33 says this, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Call unto me. He calls us to call unto him, because he wants us to come with our heavy laden things. He wants us to come. So what's the difference here? How does a complaining attitude differ from, how does that differ from one that is crying out to God? I think we can see the difference. Let's have a definition here of what is complaining then. This was what I found. Expressing dissatisfaction toward a circumstance that is not wrong and that I'm doing nothing to correct. That's complaining. I'm complaining about something that's not really wrong. I just don't like it. And I'm not doing anything to make it better. Note that it's about a circumstance. It's not about people. Criticism is towards people. It's about things. If I'm speaking out against sin that's wrong, that's not complaining. But if it's not wrong and I keep fussing about it, if I speak out about abortion or murder, that's not complaining. But if I do nothing to correct what's going on in my situation, the thing that I'm dissatisfied with, if I do nothing to help out here, I'm just complaining, I'm murmuring, I'm whining, I'm running at the mouth about something that is a preference. That is complaining. And God hates complaining. He hates murmuring. But he loves when his children come to him with their problems. He loves that. Philippians 4, verse 6 says this, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't allow cares to burden you down. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Everything, by prayer, speaking to God, bringing it to God. Supplication, let it be known to God. because he cares. He loves when we recognize our need for him. God, I need you. I cannot do this alone. He loves that. He's our Heavenly Father. But do you sense the difference in attitude of, God, I can't do this on my own. I need your help. That attitude versus, I don't like this situation. Ask yourself this question. Am I a complainer? A murmurer? If you're not sure, then ask God. Pray. God, am I a complainer? Do you see me as a complainer? And he will let you know. Or maybe you're seeing the consequences of complaining in your life. Is your life joyless, friendless, hopeless? Has God's fire scorched the edges of your life? It's possible that we need to check our attitude. And if either of those are yes, am I willing to change? Am I willing to repent? Recognizing my attitude is not right is the first step to making the proper right choice. And that choice is an attitude of gratitude. God, I choose to be grateful. What a contrast between a complaining attitude and an attitude of gratitude. In our Sunday school lesson, I'd like to turn there. We had in our Sunday school Luke chapter 17. Turn there with me if you would. Luke chapter 17. Several weeks ago, we had this lesson in our Sunday school. I'd like to just read that again as a demonstration of gratefulness, what that looks like. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. Luke 17, verse 11. This is the 10 lepers. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell on his face at his feet and gave him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the nine? And there are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Just a couple points here. What a beautiful picture of someone that all of a sudden realized his need, because he stood there with them crying out. And then he realized that this man, Christ, has cleansed him, and he was grateful. There was enough gratefulness in his heart that he went back alone. We notice here that God notices, Christ noticed, and God notices when there is no expression of thankfulness. He saw that there were a number that didn't express their thank, and he rewards true gratefulness. When we're grateful from deep within our heart, because we really are great. It's not lip service. You go to a restaurant and the waitress brings you coffee, ketchup, whatever. Thank you. Really? Are we really? Yeah, we are. But is when we speak to God and we're from the depths of our heart, we're grateful. God notices that and he rewards that. Here, he rewarded this man with a wholeness that the other nine did not experience. James McDonald, in his book, Lord, Change My Attitude, wrote this: Only when we acknowledge God as the gracious provider of general blessings, like life and breath and food and shelter, do we begin to comprehend our need for God in a personal way to express faith in him. I like that. The general things, breath, the fact that we woke up this morning to be able to hear to see. All those general things, are we thankful for those? If those are from God, if we recognize that those are from God, it's a gift to us, those general things, then how much more forgiveness? How much more salvation? And all those kinds of things that we have no power over, only God does. Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. Do you believe that? It should stir gratefulness in our heart when we recognize that, you know what, without God, I don't even wake up this morning. My attitude is a choice. If I choose gratitude, it is more than just words. It comes from somewhere deep inside. Gratitude seems to be on several different levels. One would be the lip service, like I was just talking about. And then another level, I called this level one. We read that in Hebrews. I have several points here yet in closing. Levels of gratitude. If I have an attitude of gratitude, level one is Hebrews. It's a continual praise on my lips. Level one. Hebrews 13:15 says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Verbally recognizing God's goodness. Verbalizing that he's faithful to what he has promised. In our testimony time, that's what continual praise is when you can say, I saw God at work this week, and then you have your story. That's giving praise to God. That's just level one. That's level one. We should all be doing that. A verbal witness for others to hear. Gratitude. Level two. Level two is thankful in every situation. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything. It's not just a verbal thanks in everything. It is in everything. Regardless of my situation, I find something to be thankful for. Like that, was it Pollyanna, or one of those characters, that saw the silver lining to be glad about something in every situation. You find something thankful in every situation. Level three. Level three is thankful not just in all things, but for all things. Giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:20. Always for all things. That is the ultimate place of gratitude, when I can be thankful for that. Hebrews 13:6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. That we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper in all things, for all things. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Am I operating at that level? What level am I operating in? Is it level one or two? Or am I not even on the chart yet? I have one more verse I'd like to share with you. And this verse is found in Psalms 107, verse 8. It says, Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for the wonderful works to the children of men. Giving thanks is a choice. That word, oh, is a deep expression of, oh, that men would, not could, we can, but that we would praise the Lord. It's a choice. Thanks recognizes that God is at work in my life, that we would praise the Lord for his goodness. Were it not for the goodness of God, where would we be? For his long suffering, for his mercy. It's not just for me, it's for us, it's for everyone. It says for the children of men. Yes, for everyone. We are Gentiles, but he has included us as heirs, joint heirs with Christ. How amazing is that? Am I a complaining person or am I a thankful person? Do I see the fruits of thankfulness in my life? Which choice will I be making? Will I be making an attitude of complaining or an attitude of gratitude? All the aspects of my life depend on the choice that I make. They're affected by this choice. Let's be people that are grateful for what God has done. If you're able to, I'd like to kneel for prayer this morning and show our gratitude towards the Lord. Heavenly Father, you have bountifully blessed us. In times when we have been so busy with life that we've forgotten where our bounties come from, help us, Lord, to recognize that even in the general things, breath, life, they come from you. And not only that, the big things too, salvation and forgiveness. Help us to be a joyful people that with gratitude are level 3 Christians, where we are grateful for all things, in and for all things. Help us, Lord. We want to give you all the glory. Thank you for meeting us here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.